Welcome to the AA Grapevine, the magazine of Alcoholics Anonymous. This month, December 2024, the topic is remote communities and sober holidays. This month's featured section is Remote Communities and Sober Holidays, with helpful stories by AA members who have a difficult time reaching AA and members who help them through service. Also included are some wonderful sober holiday stories. First story, Best Holiday Ever, by Gary D. of Edgewater, Florida. Things are a little quieter and tough this year, but his mission is clear. Show love the best he can. I used to despise the holidays. Look how everyone acts on Black Friday, pushing, sleeping overnight, and fighting in parking lots. No problem with self-righteousness here. I was the meat cutter. Everyone wanted the perfect turkey, perfect roast, perfect Chateaubriand. I was one of the people feeding all these damn customers. Pour me a drink. Fortunately or unfortunately, depending on my perception, I poured too many drinks and couldn't stop no matter what I tried. My sobriety date is November 22nd, 4 days before Thanksgiving 2009. I had stopped fighting. After 4 days dry, I went to AA. I didn't want to drink anymore. I said, I need help. What do I have to do? My first sober holiday season was anxious, yet hopeful. I said no to holiday parties with drinking. I did attend a Christmas party at the sober clubhouse, though. I even brought a ham. Gratitude was starting to touch my soul. Something was changing inside of me. I was going to 1 to 2 AA meetings every day. I didn't feel alone any longer. I was now surrounded by a fellowship that understood. A few years ago, I was asked to share about what my first sober holiday season was like. I had to go to the source who remembers all, me not so much. My wife, yes, she and I are still communicating. One day that December, when I had the day off and she was at work, I decided to go out and get some colorful lights and holiday figures and decorate our front yard. Boy, was my wife pleasantly surprised. We had lived in that house for 15 years with no outdoor decorations until then. But that wasn't enough. I even filled the backyard with flashing blue lights. Even I was overwhelmed. It was so crazy, I had to do away with the flasher. One big book line stays with me. Our very lives as ex-problem drinkers depend on our constant thought of others and how we may help meet their needs. Thinking of others and being of service to people at my job, especially customers, has changed a lot. I went from being a mercenary to being a humble servant, especially during the busy holiday season. Wow! How does this change happen to an egotistical, self-centered alcoholic like me? Simple. I work the steps and apply them in my life today. It also doesn't hurt when I apply our traditions too. I'm now retired, but I love to participate in our District AA Alcathons. I also get to help out at our District Gratitude Dinner, which serves about 300 of our fellowship. On Thanksgiving, I spent the holiday season with my wife, sons, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, but this past holiday season was quite different. My wife, who has stood by me since 1978, got cancer and was going through chemo treatments. She always loved to cook our big holiday meals, veggie plates, dips, and so forth. But she wasn't able to do it this Thanksgiving, so a dear family friend who lives an hour away took it upon herself to cook a Thanksgiving dinner and send it to us. What a wonderful surprise that was. When Christmas Eve came, my wife was able to put a small dinner together just for the two of us. But Christmas Day, which was one of her favorite days, was quiet. She just didn't have the energy. This year, she just wasn't able to enjoy herself. She got concerned about the future. I never pushed program at her. Fellow members told me there's a God in her life and it's not you. All I said to her was, "Baby, let's just deal with this for today." And that's what we started doing together. This past holiday season was our 44th together. Though it was different, we were grateful. All those years she took care of our family and me when I was sick. Now I have the privilege to take care of her. My sponsor says every morning is Christmas and every night is Thanksgiving. If I had settled for just not drinking, I would have definitely shortchanged myself. Next story is by Lisa C. of Bozeman, Montana, How I Made It Through the Holidays. With less than 2 weeks sober and liquor everywhere in sight, how on earth was she going to not drink? Several years ago, on a bitterly cold Friday night, I went to my first AA meeting. I was new in town and wasn't properly dressed for that night's sub-zero temperatures. I spent the first half of the meeting shivering from a wretched combination of cold, fear, and alcohol withdrawal. I spent the second half crying. As Bill's story in our big book says, how dark it is before the dawn. For the next few days, I went to AA meetings, collected phone numbers, and then went home and drank alone. The phone numbers belonged to cheerful strangers who welcomed me warmly and seemed to want to help me. "Of course, you can get sober," they told me. "Don't wait until after the holidays. Don't even think about the holidays, just to try not to drink just for one day," they said. Although I didn't quite trust these cheerful strangers, on the seventh day after my first meeting, I decided to try to stop. Much to my surprise, I managed to stay sober for 24 hours. That was December 13th, 2013, and the next day I did it again, and then the next. For the first time in a very long time, I started to feel some hope. It was a tiny flickering candle, lashed by winds of despair, that howled through my sick mind. "You wouldn't make it through the holidays," my disease told me. "You'll never stay sober long term, so you might as well give up now," it insisted. But for the first time in ages, I wasn't entirely at the mercy of these sick thoughts. Those cheerful strangers kept telling me I didn't have to pick up the first drink. I tried with all my might to listen to them instead of listening to the lies my disease kept telling me. Then came Christmas Eve. I endured the family dinner where seemingly everyone but me gleefully chugged wine. But afterward, I quickly headed over to the fellowship hall for another dinner. This one was sober alcoholics. I plopped down at a table full of strangers and stared at the pumpkin pie on my paper plate. I tried to get a few bites down, but it was hard to swallow past the lump in my throat in that moment. I remember thinking that if I started to cry, I was going to throw myself to the floor, curl up in a fetal position, and howl. I'd cried in public more during the preceding 3 weeks than in the whole rest of my life put together, and I was becoming less shy about it. But crying would have been awkward at a Christmas party, so I bit my lip and fought the tears. Then a nice man sitting next to me leaned over and introduced himself. "I haven't seen you before. Are you new?" I nodded miserably. "I have 11 days," I told him, "but I don't think I'm going to make it through today and tomorrow." And then the tears came. I didn't throw myself to the floor or howl, but I cried. I really didn't want to drink. I just didn't think I had a choice. The man just looked at me and smiled. "You're going to make it," he said matter-of-factly. "I can tell." Then he went back to eating his dinner. He seemed so sure. I don't know why I believed him, but I did. I stopped crying. I forced myself to talk to a few more people. I stuck around for a few of the late-night marathon meetings, and then went home and fell asleep sober for the first Christmas Eve in a very, very long time. 3 days later, I heard a woman tell her story at a meeting, and it was my story. After the meeting, I asked her to be my sponsor. On New Year's Day, she celebrated 4 sober years, which seemed to me like an eternity. She helped me stay sober through the new year and for many years thereafter. These days, I make it a point to go to the dinners and parties and marathon meetings that happen in my town during the holidays. In contrast to that first year when I felt so alone, now these gatherings are full of friends as dear to me as family. But I always try to keep an eye out for someone I haven't seen before, someone who might need a kind, reassuring word from a stranger in order to make it through the next 24 hours. I have so much gratitude for the person who did that for me. He made all the difference as I struggled through that first Christmas Eve. I don't know if I would have made it without him. I just know that I'm glad that I didn't have to. Moving on to the next story, it's entitled "The Gift That Lasts." It's by Doc Ed G. of Blue Springs, Missouri. As amazing memories of first sober holidays go, this one of a dad and his son floats to the very top. My sober date is Thanksgiving of 1973. At that time, my two sons and I were living in Lakeland, Florida. It was, in fact, the last time I had a drink of alcohol. It was the coldest winter Florida had seen in many years. I had no job, and we were still living on Skid Row in a place where I had just gotten the utilities turned on. I had no money and no idea what my sons would get for Christmas. A fellow AA member and his family were migrant fruit pickers and were in town to harvest the grapefruit, which were freezing on the trees. I got a job to help. We were to be paid $7 for each tub filled with grapefruit, and we began at first daylight. My friend's family was filling up the tubs very quickly. but it was not so fast for me. At the end of the day, I hadn't even filled my first tub. Luckily, the boss still gave me $7 for my day's work. With that money, I bought a chicken, a can of peas, stuffing, and a pie shell, which I planned to fill with pumpkin mix for dessert. I didn't know there were any differences between pumpkin and pumpkin pie mix, so I spooned the contents of the can into the shell, and after nearly setting the kitchen on fire, I pulled this thing that looked like an adobe brick out of the oven and drowned it in water. My kids were really impressed with my willingness to do what I could, but not so much for my culinary expertise. My next task was to get them something for Christmas, but with no money left, I had to rely on my inventive skills. I found a piece of an old 2x4, and Shaky Jake, the human nerve, began to carve a sailboat with all of my 106 pounds of raw energy, with hopes of it being able to sail on the nearby lake by Christmas Day. I struggled almost as much to make a working sailboat as I did to stop drinking. With all the determination and desperation I had in me, I came up with a sailboat that actually worked, and on Christmas Day. I took my two sons to Lake Morton. With the string attached, we gave the boat a push out onto the water. My boys and I laughed and enjoyed an amazing day that would end up being, 50 years later, a treasure. My youngest son has kept the boat on display in his den all these years. Last year, that son called excitedly to tell me that my granddaughter in Omaha was going to be giving birth to his first grandson. I was so happy to hear the news, and even more so when he told me he had been waiting for a grandson so he could transfer ownership of the sailboat after the little guy gets big enough. Recently, I picked up a children's book with the story of a little boy and his sailboat and wrote a letter to my son to read to his grandson when he's old enough to understand about continuing a family tradition. As I'm writing this, my granddaughter is in labor, waiting to deliver the new owner. This is one of the happiest and most blessed days I've had in my 50 years of recovery. If you ask my sons which Christmas they love the most as kids, they will tell you it was the one when I got sober and we first sailed that boat. AA has given me and my family countless amazing memories, but this one is by far one closest to the top of the list. My prayer is that whoever reads this, no matter where you are in your journey, please don't stop coming and miss out on life. That's my story, and I am sticking to it. Next, we have Keeping It Green by Tina W. of Hobie Sound, Florida. I have so many bad memories about the holidays before coming to AA, but the truth is, I don't remember a lot of those holidays. When I was a child, we didn't really get to celebrate, mostly because my family partied like rock stars. Children really weren't the focus of holidays. I remember the Christmas when I was 9 more than the others because there were so many presents under the tree that year when we woke up. I could hardly believe my eyes. To this day, the look of happiness on my 6-year-old brother Kyle's face that morning still warms my heart. We were so surprised that Santa had come to our house. We never again had a Christmas like that. That was also the year I huffed gas a few times with some older neighbors. I don't know why I did that, maybe to escape my life, or perhaps to fit in with the older kids. What I know now is that's when I started my journey into mind-altering substances. By the time I was 13, I was a blackout drinker. All the holidays after that were just an excuse to drink. Once I got to AA and went through the steps, I was able to see the truth about my life and was able to put things in order from the start of my drinking. But the holidays after I started drinking are all just a messy blur. Relationships destroyed, trips to jail, lots of time and money wasted. The funny thing is that I believed I was having such a good time. I was married for a short time and had three young stepkids who I put through some messy Christmas holidays. Some years there was no tree. Some years there were no presents. Some years there was no me. In AA, we don't regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. Some things, however, I do wish I could have done differently. So nowadays, each year when the holidays come, I give as much as I can and try to be present in all I do and who I'm with. Christmas is a bittersweet time of year for me still. Shorty, my good AA friend, died recently. He always reminded me of Santa with his big blue sparkling eyes and his gray hair, big belly, and love for AA. Shorty would often share that there's enough love for everyone in AA. I miss him very much. He was one of the giants on whose shoulders I was able to stand when I couldn't see in front of me. He had 20 years of sobriety when he passed. Shorty died sober with honor and dignity. He made the holidays special for everyone. I love being sober on the holidays, mostly because I can remember them now. And I now know what each holiday actually means. Today, I have a lot to be grateful for. My life is so full of love, and I keep my active alcoholism green. Holiday or no holiday, I don't want to ever forget my last drunk. The next story is A Place I Call Home by Sandra H. of Hooper Bay, Alaska. Staying sober in her tiny Alaska village was tough until one day the remote community folks' plane came to town. I had my first drink at age 17. It was just a couple of sips of champagne, but my young body was not immune to the effects, even at that small amount. It was the best feeling I had felt in my life up to that point. I was downing vodka a few weeks later. I gulped the whole thing down, and it got me so plastered that the next morning I was given a horror show account of my actions during my blackout. This was an ominous warning, if you ask me, but I did not heed it. I went on to drink for 20 more years. I always drank before and after social events because alcohol gave me a false bravado. On booze, I felt beautiful, strong, and able-bodied. I lost all my shyness. I felt invincible. In went the drinks and out went the inhibitions. I drank on weekends, holidays, birthdays. Any excuse was a good reason to get drunk, including boredom. I found myself with people I'd never be around when sober. I grew up in a small, isolated village in Alaska. The only way in and out was by airplane and boat in the summers and by airplane and snow machine in the winters. My life consisted of living a subsistence lifestyle, I worked to make ends meet while going out for berries, greens, fish, and wildlife when the tides and weather cooperated. I didn't know it then, but the universe was my higher power. All of my actions depended on the weather and the daily tides. That is, except for my drinking. I would drink at any time of the day or night. The isolation of our remote village was a barrier, both physical and mental. With no place to go, and sometimes very bad weather, I felt really stuck. I had lived in a state of hopelessness in the alcoholic home I grew up in, where all facets of abuse were the norm, verbal, physical, mental, sexual, and even spiritual abuse through religious beliefs of the adults around me. That is not the end of this story, but it is the end of part one of the December 2024 AA Grapevine. I will be continuing this on part two. Again, my name is Vicki Duke, and I am coming to you from Sun Sounds of Arizona.